Amen. All right. Let me get this thing turned on so I can forget about it. All right. Well, let's open our Bible to First John chapter number 3. First John chapter number 3. I want to once again express my appreciation to the church. You've been very kind to us, the pastor and his wife, and the good accommodations we have made ourselves right at home, and we thank you for that. I don't want to, I say this very delicately, in light of what the pastor shared with us a few minutes ago, I feel for folks. I feel for him and for folks, especially that the news has affected. And I don't preach flippantly anyway. I don't get in the pulpit and just whatever, go at it. I don't do that. But I don't want to preach flippantly tonight, especially. But if you will, I would like for you to just stay with us for a few minutes. And just get behind us and help us preach tonight. I feel like this is what God put on my heart, even last Thursday as I was praying. I want to say thank you to Brother Song Leader. I don't know your name, brother. I hadn't got to say a word to you this week, but thank you to Brother Song Leader. We were almost done singing the congregational, and it just occurred to me, oh my goodness, this is what I'm preaching tonight. Oh my goodness, what in the world? What about that? See, God knows what He's doing. 1 John chapter 3, if you would please stand, reverence the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter number 3, we want to read the first three verses of this chapter and give you our thoughts from here tonight, what's God's put on our heart. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. And we'll get right into the message and the thoughts God's given us for tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we come to You now in Jesus' name, thankful and grateful for the day You've given to us. Another opportunity to be in Your house, Lord, for what You've done in this meeting already. Lord, I was praying earlier today, and I conveyed to You, I'm amazed how that we have looked forward to this for months, and now here it is, my part, last night of the service. Lord, we are praying that You'll remember Brother Stephen as he comes and preaches over the next couple of days, that You'll touch him and help him and anoint him with power from on high. And continue, Lord, even go further than what You've done already. Thank You for the souls that have been saved so far, Lord, as a result of the prayers of Your people and the work that You're doing. Help us now as we open Your Word. Help us to rightly divide it. Help us make good application and be help to Your people. Save sinners. Draw them to Yourself. And help us to just focus our attention upon Jesus for a few minutes. For what You do, we're thankful, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we read 1 John chapter number 3, and in verse number 2, well, especially in verse 2, but in all of these verses, it is obvious, and I didn't necessarily plan it this way, I didn't realize it until earlier today, that I read a different text that said some similar things to what we'll be preaching tonight, although I didn't necessarily preach on the rapture of the church last night or the return of Christ for the church, but we read these verses, and it is obvious, it is apparent to anyone that is reading or hearing these verses read that these verses are about Jesus coming back. It's about the rapture of the church. It's about He who has saved us by His grace coming back to get us and taking us to be home to be with Him. And I want to just begin by saying we've heard this all our lives. Jesus is coming. We've heard that all our lives. But if we were put on the spot and we were, I don't know, a camera in our face, a microphone under our chin, if any one of us were put on the spot and asked, do you really believe Jesus is coming? We no doubt would answer saying, oh yes, absolutely. I believe Jesus is coming. Why, sure, I believe Jesus is coming. But when we think about it, and if this isn't you, look, if this isn't you, then you just forgive me for being presumptuous. But I feel like if it's me sometimes, and I'm made out of the same stuff you're made out of, that it might be all of us at least a little bit from time to time. It seems like in our minds, when we think about Jesus coming back, we've read it in our Bible, and more often than not, we think about it, and it's just another set of facts, something else that we know is a fact, just like we know that 2 + 2 = 4. Jesus is coming. Just like we know the sky is blue, we know that Jesus is coming. Hey, did you know that water is wet? Are y'all out there? Did you know that water is wet? Well, imagine that. We know water is wet. But just like we know water is wet, in that sort of, yeah, I know that kind of way, we know Jesus is coming. Like it's a fact that's just something we kind of gloss over and take for granted. The fact that Jesus is coming doesn't seem immense to us. It doesn't seem extremely large or great. It doesn't seem especially large in scale or degree. But I want to remind you tonight that Jesus coming is the largest event that will take place in human history since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. It doesn't seem important to us. But the fact that Jesus is coming is important. It is of great significance. It is of great value. It is likely to have a profound effect. There is no event since Jesus Christ was ascended back to the Father that will have more effect upon humanity, saved or lost, than the rapture of the church, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a fact, but it doesn't seem imminent to us. That is, ready to take place. Happening soon, at any moment. May I say the rapture of the church, the return of Jesus Christ to take His bride away is imminent. The world has played itself out. The Scriptures, prophecy has played itself out. And it's just ready. The stage is just set for Jesus to return, for Jesus to come back. It's happening soon. Brother Pastor said it a moment ago. It could happen before the next song. Well, preacher, that's what we know. It could happen before the next song. It could happen before you're finished preaching. It could happen before we go to bed tonight. I've heard that all my life, and that's the problem. We've heard it all our life, and we've gotten numb to the fact that the return of Christ is imminent. It could happen at any time. I want you to know tonight, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Amen. Well, this is just kind of the way I thought about it. And I hope that this statement will grip your heart as we move forward into this message tonight. But if we're honest, the thought of Jesus coming feels more surreal than real. Does that make sense to you? The thought of Jesus coming feels more surreal, like a dream or like some sort of fantasy, like some kind of hope, so maybe so it feels more surreal than it does real. But based upon the authority of God's Word, it's not surreal. God help us, it's so real. Amen. Well, the reality is Jesus is coming soon. And He gives a wonderful promise in our text to the people of God regarding the fact that He's coming again. Look with me, if you will, in verse 2. I'll give you my thought for the text and we'll move on into the message. The Bible said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." The promise of God to the people of God is that we shall see Him. Does that mean anything to you tonight? Does that mean anything to anybody here tonight? I'm looking for a little feedback, not gonna lie. Does the promise that Jesus is coming back, and for those of us who are saved by the grace of God, we shall see Him. Does that mean anything to you tonight? No more looking through a glass darkly. No more preaching about it in future tense. No more faith waiting on it to become sight. Jesus is coming and we shall see Him. The Lord will help us. I want to preach on that subject tonight from these verses. We shall see Him. Let's walk back to verse number 1 and start here, because it just progressively unfolds itself into the truth that we're looking at tonight. There's a phrase here that I want to point out. And I know it may not seem like this has anything to do with Jesus coming back and we see Him. But if you just watch the text unfold, it says what it says. And what it says is good. Amen. Notice here, there's a phrase. He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." There's the phrase. We should be called the sons of God. Now I want you to understand tonight, before I get to the verse, before I move on into the message, this message could apply to anybody, saved or lost. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is coming and your life's going to be affected one way or another. But the text, as it is written, is not written to lost folks per se. It's written to saved folks. It's written to you and I who are saved by the grace of God, heaven bound with the hammer down, and the promise is to you and I that we shall see Him. Now, with that being said, verse number 1, there's a display of love. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." That word "behold" in Strong's Concordance, it means to see, to know, to be aware, consider, or understand. You see, there are too many Christians today that have lost sight of the love that God has for them. John tells us to behold it. John tells us, don't just see it, don't just know it, don't just accept it blindly as a fact, but to know the love that God has for us. He said, "Behold, see it. Behold, know it. Behold, be aware of it. Behold, consider it. Behold, understand it." God wants you to understand, if you're saved by the good grace of God, that you are a son of God. God wants you to know who you are. God wants you to know to whom you belong. God wants you to know who you have access to and who has access to you. Son of God. Amen. Oh, that's not much. I mean, look, I understand who I am. I know who I am better than you do. It's like the one preacher said, I'm a zero with the rim knocked off. I know exactly who I am. But Brother Rochester, in spite of who I am, and in spite of what I've done, and in spite of the failure that I feel like I am, in spite of my inadequacies, I'm here to tell you, not because of me, but because of Him, I am a son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. What a display of love that God would consider you and I a son of God. Well, the fact is that He loves us. John chapter 3 verse 16, you know the verse. He's already quoted it tonight. For God so loved. Behold, what man, can I take my coat off? You got yours off. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. The Bible said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given to us, that we should be called the sons of God. God hath commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Amen. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath... Behold, what manner of love. Brother choir director's picking it up. Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this was manifested His love, the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. God help us not to lose sight of this display of love. God help us as Christians to be reminded. Help us not to forget, and if we have, to be reminded that God loves me. That God loves you. God loves you. Hey, if you're here tonight and you're not saved by the good grace of God, I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He loves you, and you're not a son of God. You're not going to heaven when you die, but you can be, and you could if you get good and saved by the grace of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. This display of love. And then there's the designation of lineage. I got ahead of myself a moment ago. I can't hardly help it. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. May I say, it's high time. It's past time for the child of God, those who God have designated sons of God, begin to live a life and remember not only that God loves us, but that we're sons of God. Amen. And the Bible said in our next verse, behold, now are we the sons of God. Y'all see that? Verse number 1, He says, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Verse number 2, He says, now. Now. He doesn't say, well, you're working on being a son of God. He doesn't say, well, you're building up to becoming a son of God. He doesn't say, well, you're praying your way up to becoming a son of God. He doesn't say, hope you become a son of God. He doesn't say, we're just hanging in there, hoping in the end we'll be, I'm about to go beside myself, preacher. He didn't say, we're just hanging in there, hoping we become a son of God. He said, no. If you're saved by the grace of God, no. If you're going to heaven when you die, no. If you're washed in the blood, no. If you're born again, no. If your name's written in the Lamb's book of life, now you are a son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What about that? Amen. I don't know about you. I got some ideas, but I don't know about you. But I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. I'm a son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm washed in the blood. I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Hey, I didn't know it was in the Bible. But the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm telling you, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what God forgave me of. But this much I can assure you, I'm not who I used to be. Amen. Why? Because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. What's that got to do with anything? Well, those are the people that are sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I need to lose about 40 pounds so I can preach like this. I told you I know who I am. Amen. A display of love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Designation of lineage that we should be called the sons of God. I've got Bible verses. Let me move on. He said in verse number 1 something about a declaration of love. And watch this. Therefore. Y'all know what the word therefore means? Y'all know what to do when you read your Bible and you see what the word therefore is? When you see the word therefore, you stop and see what it's there for. That's deep, ain't it? When you see the word therefore, you stop and see what it's there for. Well, if you notice, he said, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. This is a declaration of loathing. Jesus is trying to get us to understand that he loves us that are saved by the grace of God. And we are sons of God. Therefore. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, later in the chapter, he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. John chapter 17, verse 14, Jesus, in the chapter that records his high priestly prayer, says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Here's what I want you to see out of this verse, and we'll move on. The world hates us because God loves us. The world hates us because we're sons of God. As they continue to be of their father, the devil, according to John 8:44. The world hates us because they don't know us, just like they don't know Christ. The world hates us because we are not of this world. The world hates us because God has given us his word. I read all those verses to you just now. Those are reasons why the world hates us. I'm not going to stay here long, but I want you to understand tonight, there's no sense in trying to buddy up with the world as a child of God. There's no more thing as a worldly Christian than there is a Christian world. That's right. The world hates us because we're sons of God. Now, in verse number 1, can I summarize verse 1 and move on? Living in a world that hates us, I suppose it would make the prior truths that he just gave us that much more valuable to us. That is, God loves us and we're sons of God. But the world hates us, but God loves me and I'm a son of God. But the world's not for me. But the Lord loves me. And I'm a son of... Y'all see that? Now, what's that got to do with anything? Well, I don't know. Let's just follow it along in the text and see how it progresses. You see in verse 1 that phrase that we just wanted to emphasize. Sons of God. Number 2, there's some proclamations. In our text verse, John uses a very affirmative word. And he uses it repeatedly. Follow along with me in verse number 2. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Y'all see the repeated use of that very affirmative word, shall. Amen. Let's follow it. Verse number 2, there's our eventual result. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, coming off of the heels of what He just told us in verse number 1, how that He loves us and that we're sons of God, even though the world hates us, right? So He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. He's touching to our eventual result. Now, I could get into trying to pronounce the Greek words properly, and I might even get close. But I told y'all last night, I'm a sandhillbilly. And it's probably not wise for me to try to pronounce Greek words. But can I just summarize the definitions for you? The phrase doth not yet appear. It means it's not yet rendered apparent. Hitherto not manifestly declared. Not as yet manifested forth. Not yet show. It doth not yet appear. It has not been rendered apparent. Are y'all with me? It has not yet been manifestly declared. It's not been yet shown what we shall be. That phrase, we shall be, it means what we will be, shall be, should be, shall come to pass, may have, fall, what would follow, live long and sojourn. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, even though God loves us, even though we're sons of God, and in spite of the fact that the world hates us, it's not yet been rendered apparent. It's not shown what we shall be. I still remember an old fella back in Newport, Tennessee, where I grew up. Still remember him singing. And bless his heart, he's home with the Lord now. And he was a good old saint of God. His name was Dan Prophet. And he used to sing, and he was nasally like George Jones. You hear me? Y'all out there? I see you. I can't hear you. He was nasally like George Jones, bless his heart. And he'd play the guitar and he'd sing. And I can still hear him, and I'm not going to try to sound nasally like him. I probably could, but I ain't going to. He'd sing, he'd say, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I'd like to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Well, may I say, I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not what I'd like to be. But I'm not what I'm going to be yet either. It has not yet been rendered apparent what I'm going to be. You say, preacher, I'm looking at you and you don't look like much. Well, I'd say you're probably right, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. Preacher, I'm looking at you and I'm not impressed. Well, I don't blame you, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Our eventual result has not yet been revealed. He goes on then to talk about His eventual reemergence. Beloved, now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear. His eventual reemergence. Interestingly enough, that phrase, shall appear, it carries the same idea. It's just whenever He's talking about what we're going to be, it's has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear. Amen. While it doth not yet appear what we shall be, we know that He shall appear. He will be rendered apparent. He will appear. He will be manifestly declared. He will manifest Himself. Just as surely as He came the first time as a babe in a manger, just as surely the first time He came and died on an old rugged cross, He shall appear. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Just as surely as He came the first time as a babe in a manger. He's going to come the second time to redeem the bride of Christ, to take His church, His children home to be with Him. Our eventual result, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. His eventual reemergence, but we know that when He shall appear. Our eventual resemblance, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Hallelujah. I don't know if that's going to do anything for you, but I'm telling you that's helping me. That's helping me immensely. We shall be. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Amen. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. That word like, it means similar in appearance, similar in character, like manner. It comes from word meaning at the same place or at the same time together. Did y'all get all that? You didn't get all that. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him in appearance. Y'all ain't getting this. Y'all ain't getting it. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him in appearance. You understand, it is an inevitability that we are going to be like Him. He's been working on you to conform you and to conform me into the image of Christ since the moment He saved us. It is an inevitability that we shall be like Him. We'll be like Him in appearance. When He shall appear, we'll be like Him in character. Amen. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him in manner. Preacher, that don't say we'll be like Him in manners. I'm telling you, I met some that could use some of those. We'll be like Him in manner. When He shall appear, we'll be at the same place as He. When He shall appear, we shall be at the same time together as He. Amen. I said it a moment ago. Here's the verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You can kick and you can scratch and you can fight and you can resist all you want to. But if you're saved by the grace of God, it is an inevitability that you are going to be just like Him. My wife knows exactly what I'm fixing to say. If my church was listening to me preach this, they know what I'm fixing to say too. Young people, little kids, they used to sing a song a long time ago. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you and your kids sing that, more power to you. Just like they said, the man in the electric chair, more power to you. You know, come on, y'all. If your children sing this song, more power to you. Miss Jenny, if y'all sing this song, more power to you. But I'm telling you, I hate this song. It is a personal affront to me. They used to sing, He's still working on me. Are y'all listening? To make me what I ought to be. Here's the part that kills me. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. And I've been saved since January the 5th, 1992, and He's still working on me. Are you listening to me? Come on now, you know that's right. He's still working on me. I've been saved for a little while now, and He's still working on me. But it doth not yet appear what I shall be. But He's still working on me. And it's inevitable. While He's working on me here, knocking off rough edges, knocking off some spots and blemishes, and He's trying to conform me to the image of His dear Son, bless His heart, I know He's got a long way to go. But when He shall appear, I'll be like Him. There'll be no more working on me. There'll be no more rough edges. There'll be no more spots. There'll be no more blemishes. Why? Because He shall appear and we shall be like Him. Hallelujah. If you're saved by the grace of God, heaven bound with a hammer down, that ought to do something for your soul, that you won't have no more spots. You won't have no more blemishes. You won't have to contend with no more sin nature. You won't be bothered by temptation anymore, because the same one that saved you is the one you'll be just like. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he says in verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be," our eventual result. "But we know that when he shall appear," his eventual reemergence, "we shall be like him," our eventual resemblance. "For we shall see him as he is," our eventual realization. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, while it doth not yet appear what we shall be, we know that he shall appear, and when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For. The word "for." Preacher, are you serious? You looked up the word "for"? Oh, yes. Words are good. Words mean things. The word "for," it's a causative term, meaning because, as concerning that, as though, because that, for that, how that, in that, though, why. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." For. We shall be like him because we shall see him. Y'all ain't getting this. We shall be like him because we shall see him. We shall be like him as though we shall see him. We shall be like him for that we shall see him. We shall be like him how that we shall see him. We shall be like him in that we shall see him. We shall see him as he is. That phrase, "we shall see," it means, oh, this is a good word. It means to gaze with eyes wide open as at something remarkable. To appear, to look, see, or show self. We shall see him. Are y'all listening to me? We shall see him. That is, we shall gaze upon him with eyes wide open as at something remarkable. Either y'all really are getting this or y'all ain't getting this at all. We shall see him. And when we see him, we shall just gaze upon him with eyes wide open. Has it something remarkable? Are y'all getting this? When he comes, we're going to see him, and it's going to be the most remarkable sight, because he's the most remarkable person there ever has been or there ever shall be to see. We'll see him. We'll gaze with eyes wide open as it's something remarkable. We'll look upon him. See, the words, we just gloss over words. That's why when people say, "Jesus is coming, I know, and water is wet." No, don't gloss over it. We shall see him. That is, we shall look upon him. You're going to see him. You're going to see him. You're going to see him. You're going to look upon him, Jesus Christ. You're going to see him. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a Bible story. It's not a Sunday school lesson. It is a reality that is is waiting to happen. It is a truth that's going to unfold. It's a promise of God that we shall see Him. Hallelujah. We'll look on Him. We'll see Him. We shall appear before Him. We shall see Him. Amen. While it doth not yet appear what we shall be, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, look in verse number 2. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see as He is. The person. Simple as this is, it's right there in the verse, what, 5 times? The person that we're going to see. Don't let this get by you. I'm talking about the one that's coming. It's the one we're going to see. Who is then the one that we're going to see? Who is He that shall appear? Who is He that we shall be like? Who is He that we shall see? May I say, He is the one that spoke it all into existence. He is the one that breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He is the one who said, I am that I am. He is the one that parted the Red Sea. He's the one that helped David slay the giant. He's the one that protected Daniel from the lions. He's the one that delivered 3 Hebrews from the fiery furnace. He's the one that was manifested in a body of flesh. He's the one that healed the sick and raised the dead. He's the one that gave the blind their sight and the deaf their hearing. He's the one that lived a perfect, spotless life. He's the one that died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. He's the one that saved me from my sin and washed me in His blood and made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's the one that's coming back, and He's the one that I'm going to see. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him. Don't let that excite you. Don't let that do nothing for you. Don't let that bless your heart. Don't let that get deep down. Deep down in your heart. Amen, youth camp. Don't let that do anything for you. Brother, don't let that excite you. That the one that died on the cross is the one you're going to be like. And the one that bled and died on the cross is the one that you're going to see. Don't let that do anything for you. The one that shed His blood. The one that paid the price for your sins. The one that was your substitute and mine. Don't let that do anything for you. That He's the one you're going to see. Don't let it do anything for you. That the one that created it all is the one you're going to see. Amen, brother choir leader. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Don't let that do nothing for you. No, sir. No need to get excited. God's trying to give us some waters to swim in. Am I right, preacher? God's trying to give us some waters to swim in. Don't let it do nothing for you, brother. That the one that spoke it all into existence. He didn't have to lift a finger. It didn't stress Him. It didn't strain Him. He didn't have to go, ugh. He just spoke and it happened. That's who's coming back, and that's who we're going to be like, and that's who we're going to see. Amen. Let me run a rabbit. It popped up. Bang, here it comes. You ready? Somebody said, you believe in the Big Bang Theory. Careful now, right? You believe in the Big Bang Theory. I said, yes, I do. He said, really now? I said, absolutely. God spoke. Bang, it happened. Amen. Yes, sir. Hey, it excite you that the one that's got all power, the one that's all knowing, the one that sees it all, the one that knows it all, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Don't let it do nothing for you that He's the one that's coming back, and He's the one that you'll see, and He's the one that you'll be like. Don't let that do nothing for you. Come on now. Don't let that do nothing for you. I'm telling you, I'm about to have a spell. I was over there in the young married couples class, I guess it was. Turned the light off, sitting in the dark, and I was praying. And I got done praying, and I flipped the light on, and I opened up my little tablet. I knew what God wanted me to preach, and I started reading it. I'm telling you, I had goosebumps big as a piglet could suck on, hanging all over my arms, just reading about and thinking about the one. Hey, are y'all out there in Radio Land? I'm talking about the one that's coming. He's the one that we're going to be like. And He's the one that we're going to see. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I guess I about preached that point out. Amen. You know, there's some more in verse number 2. Y'all in a hurry? That's good. I only preached 46 minutes last night. And I didn't preach at all Monday night. Verse number 2. Verse 1, you see that phrase. And it rolls right into verse number 2. Where you see those proclamations. Those shall statements. Very affirmative word. You see the person who's going to appear and who we're going to be like and who we're going to see. But I want to pay a little attention here before we move on to the promise. The Bible said at the end of verse 2, "For we shall see Him as He is." I'm not going to labor here long. I'm going to run through here and get the last point and finish. But there are some like promises, some similar promises, some other shall promises in the Word of God. Let me just read them real quick. And I know this isn't an all-inclusive list, but let me just read them real quick because it'll encourage you to believe this shall promise in our text by seeing some other shall promises that you already believe. For example, shall be the sacrifice. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 11. "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." You believe that? You believe every bit of those shall, very affirmative promises from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. "Shall be saved." He quoted it already. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I mean, how much do you believe that? Are you saved? I mean, you know, you're saved. You believed it. I mean, even if you knew you were believing it or not, I mean, it kind of happened. Am I right? You believe those shall promises? What about shall be supplied? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." You believe those promises? That God shall supply? What about, what about Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10? "Shall be scorched." And God shall be scorched. That's right. Yeah, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever." I'm telling you what, I believe that one. That's another one of them, what a day that shall be. Yes. Amen. Are y'all out there? Amen. What a day that'll be. Amen. When the one that has tormented the human race will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Yes. And never getting out. Yes. Going to get what's coming to him. Yes. That is a sure promise from the Word of God. You believe that one, don't you? What about shall be soothed? Revelation chapter 21 verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'm talking about some shall promises. I'm sure there's many more of these shall promises in the Word of God. But the point I'm trying to get across to you is this. We have no problem believing that He shall do any of these things. Why then can't we believe deep down in the core of our being more than we believe water is wet, more than we believe the sky is blue, more than we believe 2 + 2 = 4? Why can't we believe with the same effectiveness and fervency this shall promise that when He shall appear, we shall see Him? Amen. Just as sure as a convicted sinner calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, we shall see Him. Just as sure as God shall supply all your needs, we shall see Him. Just as sure as Satan will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and be tormented day and night forever and ever, we shall see Him. Just as sure as God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, we shall see Him. You see, some like promises, we shall see Him. The Savior's living presence, we shall see Him as He is. Not as He was. Not as He was. Oh, I'd surely love to have been there in the stable that night when Mary birthed Him into this world and wrapped Him in them prophetic swaddling clothes and laid Him in that manger. I sure would like to have seen Him. Well, yeah. That'd been cool, huh? Come on now. That'd been something. Oh, I sure would like to have seen Him whenever He prayed over the fish and the bread and distributed among thousands and then said, hey fellas, y'all pick up the crumbs. And there was more left over than there was when He started. And on we could go. I sure would like to have seen Him. I sure would like to have seen Him as He was. I'd like to have seen Him as He was. May I say, all that would have been well and fine. But that's not what I'm interested in. That's not what I'm looking for. That's not what my promise is. God has told me and He's promised you that we shall see Him as He is. As He is. What does that mean, as He is? We will see Him. And what shall we see when we shall see Him? We shall see Him in His glorified body, yet still bearing the marks of Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. This is post-resurrection. This is after He's went back to the Father and come back now. This is how we're going to see Him. As He was there in that room that day. And He showed Him His hands. And He showed Him His side. Still bearing in His body the marks of Calvary. Y'all out there? He goes on down into the chapter, John chapter 20, then verse 27 through 9. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Hey, listen. We'll see him as he is. Y'all listening? Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and have yet believed. That's me. Brother, associate, pastor, sir, that's you. Amen. I wish I knew everybody's names. I'm sorry, I've been here 3 days, two and a half. I'm telling you, we're going to see him as he is. We're going to see him in his resurrected body. We're going to see him still bear the marks of Calvary. There'll still be the prints of the nails in his hands. There'll still be the print of the thrusted spear in his side. There'll still be the marks on his brow from that crown of thorns. Hey, we're going to see him as he is.
Amen.
Amen. I haven't seen him yet.
Amen.
Shake your hand. I haven't seen him yet.
Amen.
Thomas saw him.
That's right.
And Jesus said, can I paraphrase? Jesus said, good for you, Thomas. You saw me and you believed.
Yeah.
And then he said, talking about you. Talking about you.
Amen.
Talking about you. Was he talking about you? 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 He was talking about me.
Yes. Yes.
Blessed are they that hadn't seen me yet, and they yet believe. Yes!
Amen!
I'm going to see him as he is. Verse number 3. Give you this, and I close. What is produced in the lives of those who remember in verse 1 that God loves them and recognize they are a son of God even though the world hates them? What is produced in the believer that believes and expects that Jesus is coming and he could come at any time? What is produced here and now in the lives of those who trust they will see him there and then? What is produced by the promise that he is coming again? By the promise that we shall see him. By the promise that when we see him, we'll be like him. For we shall see him as he is. What is produced? Verse number 3, it produces hope. Every man that hath this hope in him. What hope? I've been preaching for 56 minutes. Have you not been listening? What hope? What hope? Every man that had this hope in him, believing these promises in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, produces a hope in the heart of the believer. The word hope, to anticipate with pleasure, expectation or confidence, faith and hope. The promise that we shall see him produces hope that this world is not my home. Amen. Y'all ain't done yet. I'm close. Y'all hang in there with me just a few more minutes. Please, please. I'm almost done. This promise, these promises produce a hope that this world is not my home. Produces a hope that this is not as good as it gets. Produces a hope that there is more and better awaiting on the other side of the grave. Produces a hope that we'll be reunited with our dearly departed loved ones. Produces a hope that it'll be worth every mile. It'll be worth every trial. It'll be worth every valley that we've crossed. It'll be worth everything that we faced in His new name. Because it'll be worth it all when we see His face. It produces hope. Verse number 3, it produces holiness. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is not some magic spell that produces holiness in the life of the believer. I believe Jesus is coming back, and if you believe Jesus is coming back, even to the extent that we've expressed tonight and then some, it'll produce holiness in your life. You'll see Him by faith, whom you are going to see in reality and sight as holy. And it'll produce in your heart a desire to be holy like He is holy, for He is holy. Believing He's coming back won't make you holy. It'll make you want to live holy. Amen. It'll make you want to live right. It'll make you want to do right. It'll make you want to live right. Clean. Pure. For the honor and glory of God. It won't just presto change-o make you holy-o. But it'll put in your heart a desire, knowing that I'm going to see Him. He is holy. I want to be holy. Y'all see that? Amen. Purifieth. Purifieth himself even as he is pure. Purifieth, to make clean. Sanctify, purify self. Purifieth himself even as he is pure. Clean, innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, clean, pure. Seeing as we will see him, we begin to try to purify ourselves knowing he is pure. Seeing as we shall see him, we begin to pursue holiness knowing that he is holy. Seeing as we shall see him, we begin living here now like we're going to see him then and there. Y'all listening? Our lives prove how much we truly believe Jesus is coming again and that we shall see him. Because if we believe it, I mean really, not just 2 + 2 = 4, believe it. Not just the sky is blue, believe it. Not just water is wet, believe it. I'm talking about if we believe it in the depths of our soul and in the core of our being, if we believe it, it will produce holiness in our lives. Thus, our lives demonstrate how much we believe Jesus is coming again by how holy we do or do not live. Preacher, the Lord tried to give us waters to swim in. But right there it is. I'm done. It really is true. It really is going to happen. We really are going to see Him. No more looking through a glass darkly. No more preaching it in future tense. No more faith waiting to become sight. Jesus is coming again. And those of us who are saved by the grace of God shall see Him. The surreal will become so real. We shall see Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Rochester's going to come and play a verse of invitation.